Disney adults are a weird brand of person, don't you think? I think they're, it's an interesting phenomenon of like these people who live their whole lives loving Disney. They dedicate their whole life to Disney. And I guess it's not like anything new. It's just, I guess it has more popularity recently. You know what I mean? Like people are talking about it more. And I've always known about them. Like my piano teacher when I was a kid was a Disney adult. But it's in the front of my mind now because as I reflect back on my time at Disney World as a 30-year-old adult from a couple weeks ago, I've been thinking about these people a lot. And it's just it's a strange existence. And I don't mean to shit on them. And I'm going to try not to. But it's going to be hard not to this episode because I want to talk about my trip to Disney World. And let me tell you what, it is, believe it or not, flowing with Disney adults. There's a lot of them. And boy, let me tell you, they love Disney. They love it. It's their entire existence. It's the entire fiber of their being is Disney and Disney stuff. Is it escapism? Is that what it is? But like, maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's like a childhood thing. Like it's a nostalgia. It makes you feel like you did when you were a kid. Maybe that's part of it. I think that's probably a big part of it. But you know, the whole Disney World thing and the obsession with Disney World is weird to me. It's weird. Because Disney World is not what it used to be. It's not. It's just a cash grab now. It's just a bunch of adults running around spending $50 on a Mickey plush toy and $16 for a shitty hamburger and some kind of slushy, frozen, delicious treat. And spending it on Lightning Genie passes to get into your favorite ride. And it's screaming kids, and there's no characters walking around anymore. Like, Disney's not... Like, I get it. The movies were good back in the day. Like, cool. I like Hercules, right? You like Aladdin. You like Toy Story. You're a big fan of The Incredibles and Snow White. Whatever. Pooh Bear. I don't know. I get that. You like those things. It makes you feel nostalgic. But, like, Disney World now is hell on earth, is what it is. It's a nightmare. It's hard to get into. Everything's super expensive. It's stressful. There's too many people. It's not efficient. And it's not like a relaxing place to be. For those of you who don't know, I just got back from Disney World. You're probably wondering, Matt, why the hell did you go to Disney World as a 30-year-old adult? Well, it's because I went with my family recently. We went to Disney World. And is that my ideal idea of a vacation? No. It's not. I would love to go to Joshua Tree or Zion National Park or the Grand Canyon as a family. That would be fun. Relax a little bit. Go to a tropical beach. That would be nice. But I have younger sisters, and they, I guess, would it be nice for them to go. We haven't been with the whole family since they were little tykes, little tots, right? And I haven't been since I was 12, so I'm like, whatever, okay, fine. I'll suck it up, we'll go. That'll be cool. My youngest sister's 16, 17 now. She really never got to experience it with the whole family. So, okay, cool, we'll go. We'll have a good time. It'll be fun. And first of all, flying into Orlando, which Orlando is just, like, we've got to be one of the worst cities in the union. Like, it's not a great place. It's just not. Flying into Orlando Airport is kind of a nightmare. I'm flying from LA, obviously, which the flights are too expensive and too long. It's like 5 hours to get there, and then it's like 6 hours back because of the wind or something scientific. I don't know. And that's a long flight to go to Disney World and spend a lot of money. but you know, you make the most of it. It's good to be with family. It's good to hang out. It's good to get out of the city. I always try to get out of LA like once every couple months because you got to get out of your own headspace. That's healthy. It's good for you. But Orlando's just dominated by Disney and Disney adults and people who want to go to Disney. Hey, let's go to Disney. Hey, everyone, let's go to Disney. I want to go to Disney. Fine. Okay, let's go to Disney. But you land... I left my $800 camera on the plane, which is why the quality of this video is not great. Sorry. If you're listening on Spotify, you can see it, or maybe I uploaded it to YouTube. I don't know. I haven't decided yet because I don't care. And yeah, I left my camera on the plane. So not a great way to start off the trip. I'm a big dumb idiot. What happened was I put my camera in the under the seat thing because I brought my bag with me instead of my backpack and my suitcase. So I put them both in the overhead bin, and then I shoved the camera all the way under the seat and so I could have some extra leg room. Smart idea, right? Well, not smart idea because I forgot that the camera was there because I usually put it in my backpack, which I didn't have with me. And then I left it on the plane and now it's gone forever. So that's not fun. That's not a fun way to start off a Disney trip. Then you get to see the family, which is great. We had a nice house we could stay in. But let me tell you, 13 people is a lot. 13 people is a lot of people. That's how many people are in my family now. 13. So you can imagine there's a lot of different personalities and a lot of different opinions jostling around. So it makes it hard to juggle things when you're there. But we got in on a Saturday. I'm a little bummed that I lost my camera, but whatever. It's dust in the wind. It's gone. Okay. I made a big stupid mistake. You learn from it and you move on. If anyone wants to donate a camera to me, please DM me or whatever, and you can give me one because I would appreciate that. But we get in on a Saturday. We go to Magic Kingdom on Sunday. Let me tell you something about Magic Kingdom. It's the worst park out of all of them. Everyone thinks it might be the best, but it's not. And here's why. Because here's why. They don't have alcohol. And you're thinking, Matt, hey, you stupid alcoholic, why do you need alcohol to have a good time? Oh, I don't know, because I'm in Disney World as a 30-year-old. And there's a load of fat people around me who stink and are rude, frankly. There's no self-awareness and there's no common courtesy with any of them. They're all mean. And I need something to tolerate that with. So I would like to have a beverage with me when I'm waiting in these long lines to go on Pooh Bear and to go on Peter Pan's Magical Flight and to go on Pirates of the Caribbean. But I can't have that because it's the only park that doesn't have alcohol, which I kind of understand. I'm not asking Disney to add alcohol to the Magic Kingdom. I'm not going there a lot, so it doesn't really matter. And I probably could have snuck some in if I really wanted it, but I get why they don't have it. You don't need hammered Disney adults being even ruder running around the park. You don't need that. It's a kid's place. And that's where most of the kids are, I feel like, is in Magic Kingdom. It's the best park if you're a kid. If you're an adult, it's just a bunch of kiddie rides and fat people who are rude. So they don't have that. But you get to go on the rides. You get to sit in lines with your family. It's fun. I think it's good. I know some people in the family are like, oh, we have to wait in these long lines for whatever. And it's kind of miserable, but I'm like, no, that's kind of part of the fun of the trip is like, you have to kind of suffer together waiting in long lines. That's kind of what's important about it is like, that's part of the bonding experience. You get to sit in those lines, you wait, and then you get to talk to each other. And that's good. And that's important. But it would be nice if I had a vodka tonic with me or an ice cold beer. That would help, especially on a hot day where I don't want to be drinking Coca-Cola all day. But the people in Magic Kingdom are not nice. They're not nice. This one woman, I was going to get a delicious treat for my lovely fiance, Beth. She wanted one of the funnel cakes. And here's another thing. So people always talk about the food at Disney. Oh, the food at Disney's great. It's the best food. You guys, the food is great. Yeah, you pay a lot for it, but it's worth it. It's good food. Wrong. It's not good food. It's a chili cheese corn dog with jalapenos and pickled peanut butter on it and stuff. And you're like, those flavors don't make any sense, first of all. Second of all, I paid $15 for this. And third of all, it's horrible for you. So obviously it's going to have a semblance of good taste. But no, it's not top quality food. Okay, a turkey leg. Okay, great, I'll get a turkey leg. A lot of protein in that. Probably deep fried in duck fat or something, or goose fat or, you know, peanut oil or something to make you even fatter than you already are. And then there's just basic desserts. And like some of them are good. Like my sister's got a pineapple or a mango ice cream thing. That was pretty good, but it's pretty hard to screw up ice cream. And Beth wanted a funnel cake. And I was like, fine, we'll get a funnel cake. That looks delicious and I'll get one for you. But it's like a funnel cake's a funnel cake. I don't know. Anyways, I'm waiting in line to get a funnel cake for my lovely fiance, Beth. And there's this woman. So you have to get a mobile order. I'm going to be all over the place today. I'm bad at telling stories. Get over it. So I did a mobile order. I'm walking over there to go pick it up. That's the best way to order food at Disney, by the way. If you didn't know this, this is like the hack of the century. I wish I would have known this before we went to Disney, but I learned it about 5 hours into the first day. And I'm walking up to the mobile pickup order, and there's no one in the line. Thank God. I didn't want to hang out in Frontierland any longer than I needed to. And this woman bolts in front of me. She's holding a purple treat, drink. And she just goes, I can't have this. I can't have this. Give me something else. That's what she said. Give me something else. And they go, oh, and these people couldn't have been nicer. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not like it? What was wrong with your drink? She goes, it's undrinkable. It's undrinkable. I need something else. Get me something else. Why did you sell this? Why do you guys sell this? And they go, oh, was it like the flavors or what? She's like, no, it's just undrinkable. It's gross. I give me a Sprite, something in a can or bottle. Like, I don't know why you guys would serve this. And they're just like, oh, okay, well, you know, you picked it. You picked that drink. And she goes, yeah, I know, but I just want to give me something else. Okay, fine. What do you want? All right, brute beer. Okay, great. And she goes, what? And they're getting it for her. And then she kind of calms down. She went in like with the fire of a thousand suns as if they were going to not give her another drink. She was ready to fight, right? She's like, undrinkable. I can't drink this. And then once they went to go get her other drink, they're like, okay. She kind of calms down. She's like she realized she came on a little strong. And she goes, what's in this drink anyways? And they go, I guess you can't read the menu. It's not what they said, but. It's, you know, grape something, purple something, and they go, and root beer. And she goes, oh, that's why. So there's beer in it. That's why. Oh, there's beer in it. Yeah, they go, oh, root beer. Yeah, root beer. It's not, have you heard of root beer? You know, there's no alcohol in root beer, and it's not actual beer. She's like, oh, okay. Well, thank you. Just give, I'll be on my way. And then the manager's involved in this, at this point, again, he's like, what's wrong with your drink? It's undrinkable. Who would want root beer in a drink? I didn't read the menu, but this drink is disgusting. So she goes back, and of course, you know who it is. She walks back to her table in Frontierland, sits next to her husband, and they're two, no kids. They're Disney adults. That's right. Disney adults causing these minimum wage workers unnecessary stress because you ordered a drink that you didn't even read what was in it. You just liked the name. That's what it was. That's 100% what happened. And now you're holding up the line for me where my order's already ready. And you didn't even have a mobile order. You just went to that window because you're inconsiderate and you suck. And you cut the line because you didn't have to wait in the other line again. And then you're causing me to waste my time. And as you probably know, that makes me angry. Makes me very angry. So I'm bubbling. I'm a hot pot of coffee at this point. And I just knew that, like, this is who is in the park. Like, it's these people. They're the ones in the park. Is people are going to complain without having read what a pinkity-purple drink is in Frontierland. But finally, I get up there. There's my order. I could see it. As I'm waiting in the line, I could see the funnel cake, strawberries, whipped cream, powdered sugar. Delicious, right? Grab it. Grab some forks. Go back over to Beth. We try this thing, and guess what it's not? It's not the best funnel cake I've ever had. I think I paid $12 for it. Something ridiculous for a funnel cake. Their margins must be insane. Disney's margins have got to be bananas. But yeah, it tastes like it's just a crunchy, crispy, doughy funnel cake. It's like, okay, thanks. Glad I paid $12 for this. We didn't even finish the whole thing. But of course, everyone around us is coming up. Where'd you get that? Hey, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? One of the million places to get sweets around here. You can guess. Also, get on your phone, fatty. How about that? How about you get on your phone and look? It's around there. I don't want to describe the layout of the park to you. Like, it's in Frontierland. Just go over there. It's kind of by the Liberty Bell. Just go to Frontierland and find it for yourself. You're here all day. And before that, we went to the Astro Burger Lounge, whatever the hell that place is called. Also overpriced as shit. Mobile ordered there, like $35 for a burger and fries and then chicken strips and a lemonade slushy thing. The most average burger I've ever had. And then, like, I go to the mobile pickup thing, and they just start trying to make conversation with me. I'm like, I don't, just give me my food. It said it was ready. Just hand me my food. I don't want to get into conversation with anyone. And she's, like, having problems with her touchpad thing. I'm, you know, don't you hate when these things don't work? Hey, I don't know what that feels like, because I don't use those ever. So I don't know. I'm sure I would hate it. But you know what I hate more is talking to you right now. Just give me my food. I don't need small talk. I don't need small talk. I'm curmudgeon-y. There's no alcohol here. I'm a little grumpy. People are annoying me. There's Disney adults cutting the line and causing a big stink over a drink that they ordered because they didn't read what was in the drink. But then you go to Epcot. We go to Epcot like the next day. And Epcot's fine. I mean, you can at least drink there. You can do around the world drinking, which is cool, right? We go to English British Land first, of course, which is cool. In fairness, like, Epcot's one of the better places, but there's less kids because Epcot's boring for kids. So you don't bring kids, which you think would be better, right? You'd think, oh, less kids, more enjoyment. But no, it's just more Disney adults. It's just more slovenly big slobs who just walk around and eat and take up space. And they're just so inconsiderate, too. That's the thing. They're so rude. People just walk right in. You'll be walking and someone just cuts right in front of you on their scooter. Beep, beep. Hey, dude. Hey. Why are you using that, first of all? Second of all, that doesn't just give you free roam to just drive wherever you want in front of me. Like, we are in the park as well, and we would like to have space to walk. You don't just zoom in front of somebody. The manners were just non-existent. But at least there's alcohol in Epcot, and there's some delicious options. It's hot and sweaty. You get tired after like an hour of walking around. And there's not as many rides, which I kind of like. You know, you can kind of explore the different lands a little bit more. I remember not liking Epcot when I was a kid, but I like it now. You can enjoy some beverages. And you can people watch. And to keep things interesting, I even did a fake proposal with Beth. I thought that would be fun. I thought that would be a fun little adventure for us to do. Would be have a fake proposal. Let's have a fake proposal in Epcot. So that's what we did. We had a nice little fake proposal in Epcot, which honestly, it sounds like a funny idea. It sounds like a funny thing to do. And maybe I'll clip a video in of it happening because we got videos of it. But it's not that funny. It's just incredibly awkward is really what it is. You'd think that people would clap and cheer and be happy. I guess the employees probably see it all the time. I was hoping we'd get some kind of special perk or something. And we did it while we were leaving the park. So I guess not as many people had time to like process what was happening and come up to us. But we did do a fake proposal. And yeah, like there was some people who saw it, clapped, congrats. They're just really weird. I actually saw some guy who got denied. He was trying to walk into Disney with balloons to propose, and he got escorted out of the park by security. That doesn't seem very magical, Disney. Seems like you're ruining someone's day. Although I don't think you're allowed to bring balloons in. It's just that's probably the reason why he wasn't allowed to do the proposal. I didn't have balloons. Or maybe they would have kicked me out, even if I did have balloons. Maybe too many Disney adults do that. I did it right in front of the ball at Epcot. I was hoping they would whisk me off my feet and give me free access to the rides or something. I don't know. I was just hoping for a little bit of pizzazz with the day. That's what I wanted. But I didn't get that. And then we left and we started driving home and it starts pouring rain. So we left the park at the right time. Next day we went to MGM Studios. That's the least bad of all of them, I think. That's probably the best park. It's a good balance of people. It flows the best. It has the best rides. You have Star Wars Land, which, as you can see from my hat, big Star Wars guy. That's where I got this, by the way. Funny enough, I didn't get my hat in Star Wars Land. I got it in MGM Studios, like in one of the random parks. They didn't even have Baby Yoda hats in Star Wars Land. Like, what are you doing? Their merch sucked. It was like Jedi robes. It's 90 degrees out, dude. I'm not buying Jedi robes. What am I supposed to do with this? Walk around with it all day? Wear it? Then they'll have like a bust of Luke Skywalker. I don't need a bust of Luke Skywalker. I can't afford that extra weight in my luggage. And they're like, hey, buy a lightsaber. You can go to the lightsaber crafting store. And nope, not doing that. I'm not waiting in line to build a lightsaber, dude, which is also probably terrible quality. I'm going to pay $150 for it. Nope, don't need that. The merch was just terrible. It's like helmets and stuff, too. Like, I'm going to have to wear this helmet all day if I buy it. And there's like little trinkets that suck. I don't know why I'm complaining about the merch in Star Wars World. I'm just saying, you'd think it'd be better. You'd think they'd have Baby Yoda stuff. I didn't see any of it. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe one of you is listening to this being like, they do have Baby Yoda stuff. You just went to the wrong store. Maybe. Maybe I did. But that's the best part of it. The Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Great ride. I'll tell you that. Great ride. Very pleasant ride. Nice time. I had a great time. It's a fun ride. Millennium Falcon ride. Fun ride. And they have good drinks. They have blue milk. They have green milk. Cool Star Wars drinks. Ogus Cantina. Some of the best drinks I've ever had. So, in that regard, very nice. Very nice indeed. But, like, you're just exhausted after such a short period of time of being in these parks. And, like, your patience wears so thin with these people. It's like the people waiting in front of us at the line at Ride of the Resistance are like, we're here with our band. We let them run around. And we're waiting in lines. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm here with my family. And, yeah, there's 13 of us. So, hard to coordinate. It's hard to coordinate. But, like, I can't imagine. I mean, that's the first time I've been to Disney in, what, 16 years, maybe? Something like that. And I don't want to go back, maybe ever. It's enough Disney for me for a long time. I think we'll probably take our kids. But, like, why would you subject yourself to that regularly if you're an adult and you don't have kids? People who go all the time. Like, what's enjoyable about that? You see it once, it's like, okay, I've done it. It's a scarring experience. And the people just aren't nice. Can't we be nice? Can't we be courteous to one another? No one is like that. It's just, it's a lot. And luckily we took Wednesday off and Thursday went to Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom's cool. Animal Kingdom, you get, Pandora's ride, whatever that is, the Avatar one. That's cool. The food there's pretty good. The drinks are good. I like animals. So we got to go on the safari thing. It's a fun place to walk around. Nature-y. So I didn't mind that. And then we went back to MGM, went back to Star Wars Land, went on some of the rides again. Look, it's fun. I mean, it's fun to be with the family. I think that's the best part about it all. Like I said, you wait in lines with the family. You kind of suffer together. You have some fun. You make the most of it. But Disney adults, what are you doing? Like, everyone's so competitive, too. They all have this competition element to, like, everything they do. It's just frustrating and stressful. Like, I don't know what it was, but I was stressed out being there when we first walked into Magic Kingdom because I haven't been around a huge group of people in so long. Because of COVID, I think, and it was just so overwhelming. People are bonking into you every seven steps on their scooters. Beep, beep, beep. Hey, please don't beep at me. People love to beep. But I don't know, dude. Disney. You got to pay for parking. You got to pay for your accommodations. You got to pay for drinks. You got to pay for food. Can't bring coolers in the park. You got to pay for your Genie Fast Passes. You got to pay for merch if that's your thing. Like, there's just so much you have to pay for. It's just a money grab. That's really what it feels like to me. There's no more magic at Disney. There's no more magic of Disney. It's just money. And that's the corporations, man. Yeah, man. It's corporations. Yeah, man. It's corporations, man. So I don't know. I'm not going to go back until we have kids. That's it. And even that's it. That's if the kids even want to go. Hopefully, I raise cool enough kids where they're like, "I don't want to go to Disney. I'm too cool for that." I'd be like, "I'm very proud of you, Lasagna," because that's what I'm naming my kids: Lasagna and Pork. And then Lois will be the girl, and maybe Isosceles. And then if we have another boy, maybe Beef would be a good one. So we have Beef, Pork, Lasagna. And they'll be too cool for school. They don't need to go to Disney. They'll be cool kids. And then little Lois, maybe I'll take her so she can see the Disney princesses if she wants. So that was my experience at Disney. probably terribly told. I could go into so many more details about every little thing. But honestly, dude, I'm just like, okay, I'm done. Let's move on. I need a beach trip now. I need to sit on the beach for a long time. That's what I need. Let's talk about the Will Smith slap for a second, because that's something that needs to be talked about. And it's kind of crazy. Well, more than kind of crazy. It's absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane that a man went up to another man on stage at the biggest awards ceremony probably in the world for millions of people and just slaps him and gets away with it and then wins an Oscar later on in the night. What? First of all, the Oscars suck. Let's preface it by saying that. The Oscars blow chunks. I don't think they've been cool in maybe 10 years. Like, they're just not a good event. They're boring. The ratings have been declining. They're trying to appease every single group of people and not offend anybody. And they're trying to somehow stay interesting, but they can't. They don't know how. They're their own worst enemy. And I watched it for probably the first 20 minutes, and I was like, okay, turn this off. This sucks. Let's watch something else. So we put on another movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Beth wanted to put it on, so we put it on. And then about 20 minutes into that movie, the news broke. Will Smith slaps Chris Rock for making an alopecia joke, which, look, anyone who says that Will Smith was in the right for the alopecia joke, shut your mouth. You're wrong. You're just straight up wrong. You're objectively wrong. Now, I don't care either way. This is entertaining. I'm glad the slap happened. I'm glad it was able to happen because it's the most entertaining part of TV that's happened. It's the most entertaining part of the Oscars that's ever happened. But you can't just go up and hit someone because you don't like a joke they make when you were laughing at it 3 seconds before. And everyone's like, oh, turn it off, man, if you made it, she has alopecia. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, because Chris Rock knows that for sure. Because I knew that. I definitely knew that before watching the Oscars. Stop pretending. Like, I think 8 people knew that she had alopecia before that. And even if he did know, I still don't care. It's a joke. He's a comedian. That's his job. And, like, people getting mad at jokes, you're the worst type of person. You take the fun out of everything. Get over it. Will Smith was clearly laughing at it before. Look at the tape. And then he sees her face. Boom. Flips the switch. Goes and slaps Chris Rock. Who didn't deserve it? He wasn't being malicious. He wasn't trying to hurt her feelings. That was a mild joke, by the way. A relatively very, very mild joke. He could have made a million jokes about Will Smith being a cuck. Which he is, by the way. And he didn't. He held back. And you could tell right after it all happened. He's like, ooh, I could. And he stops himself from saying something. He could have easily made a worse joke to Will Smith. But he didn't want to escalate it. Handles it with total class. Show goes on. And then Will Smith, hey, let's just let him stay. I know he just hits one of the presenters. Let's not have any decorum here. Let's not have any consequences for actions, and we'll just let him sit through and win an award, and then we'll give him a standing O. Hey, good job, Will, for your movie. Good job. And good job for smacking Chris Rock and being really weird about addressing it later on in the night. Like, what a bizarre speech too. I want to be a vessel for love. Oh, do you? Oh, is slapping someone in the face being a vessel for love? Give me a fucking break, dude. You're not being a vessel for love. You're being an asshole. You're being a pussy. And that's what you're being. You can't take a joke. Defending my wife's honor. And I hate this story. Well, imagine everyone's doing the same thing. You should have been, it goes both ways because people are like, oh, what if it was Betty White up there and she got slapped? Okay. Yeah. Obviously, the reaction's going to be different if it's a woman and if it's different people. Oh, what if so-and-so slapped this person? Okay, what about ism? Like, what if this happened? What if I was up there? No one would have known it was me, so they wouldn't care, feel as bad for me, blah, blah, blah. What if it was your wife? Like, would you feel bad if, you know, if someone said something about Beth? I wouldn't fucking smack someone, I'll tell you that much, at a award show when a comedian makes a joke who may or may not know about something going on. Also, I'm not gonna, don't put me in that position. It's not the same thing. yeah, well, what if they made a joke about cancer and it was Lance Armstrong and the presenter was the head of the biking commission? Hey, you just changed the whole scenario. So, of course, it would be a different scenario because you just changed the scenario. The scenario is what it is. And as it stands, not a big deal. You don't go hit someone over that shit. Sorry. Now, is it hilarious? Yes. And do I wish Will Smith would have punched him because I thought that's what initially happened? Yes. But that's because it's for my enjoyment. And Hollywood's a bunch of losers. Like, why is there such respect and admiration for actors? I've always had a problem with this. Oh, you have respect and admiration for someone who's pretending to be someone else? He's a professional play pretender? That's what he does. You're professional at dressing up and lying about stuff. That's what you are. And we pretend like these people are the greatest people on earth, and they're so influential, and they're the nicest, and there's nothing wrong with them. And we must glorify them and look up to them because they're so successful because they can pretend to be someone else. Lame, dude. It's lame. Actors are lame. They're just theater kids. That's all they are. And I think what we've learned from all of this, the Oscars should now be fights all the time. We should allow anyone to slap anyone. And that's my real take on this, is have celebrities fight each other. Have a TV show called Celebrity Fights. And then we normalize fighting in the celebrity world where you can punch anyone you want. I don't care. At the Oscars, at the Grammys, all bets are off. And you just fight each other. And actually, maybe we incorporate that into the Oscars where whoever wins the fight gets the award. And we have to match people up in their own weight class divisions to decide who, you know, there's multiple awards for different weight class divisions. You have to fight someone in your division to win. Now, that's interesting. That's a little bit more entertaining. You want to get your ratings up? Have all the celebrities fight each other. That's obvious. That's what people want to see after what happened last weekend. Fight. Everybody should fight. But it's obviously what was the only reason why the Oscars didn't have the lowest rating of all time was because of this slap heard around the world. I mean, how funny would it have been, though, if they did kick Will Smith out, which I think they probably should have done. Kick him out, right? Like, you assault one of the presenters? That's so crazy to me. And there's no security on the stage either. He just walks right up. No one's thinking for a second, like, hey, maybe we shouldn't allow this to happen. No response to it afterwards. Chris Rock's sitting there, dumbfounded. And, he just gets smacked in the face and is able to walk away. Like, what? What? But hey, that's our world. We have celebrity fights. It's more interesting. Punching each other. That's what people want to see. The whole thing is just, it's so strange. It's so bizarre. And like, the more I watch the video, I'm like, this is very weird. This happened on live TV. Also, dude, what a harsh reaction. Imagine if people did that at comedy clubs. You walk up to someone in a comedy club and just smack them because you don't like their joke. It would happen a lot. I've never understood this notion of people who go to shows to be entertained and then a joke is made. And then, like, people get offended. I paid money to be here. Yeah, you did, dude. But you paid money to be at a show with jokes. People aren't being serious. That's what a joke is. I can't believe I have to explain this. Like, unless it's like a really, really... Was it the best joke in the world? No. I didn't even know what it was. It's like, you drew more attention to it. It's the Streisand effect now. Like, no one knew what was going on. It was an ad-libbed joke is what it seemed like. I don't think it's the funniest joke in the world. You know what I do think is funny? Chris Rock getting smacked in the face by Will Smith. Now, do I think that's allowed? Probably not. You probably should not be able to do that. But that'll happen. So my pitch idea, if anyone from Hollywood's listening, celebrity fights. I know I just insulted your whole industry, and I stand by every word that I say there. But you should have more celebrity fights. That's what this has shown us. It makes things more interesting. And stop, like, Like, stop worshiping each other. Celebrities, you can suck. Ugh. Anyways, I'm rambling about this now, but it is what it is. So I want to do one more thing before we go. You guys seem to like some of the that scam email I had last week. And you're in luck, because guess what? There's more. So I'm going to read a couple of scam emails, more scam emails I got. And if you guys have scam emails that you want to send me and I'll read on the show, send them over, because these are my favorite. I just love the low effort that goes behind these. Like, they're just, there's not, like, I just love to picture someone sitting behind a keyboard and then typing this and saying, perfect. Send this. This'll trick them. I'll get them to respond to this email, and then I'll get their money. So let me read you one that I received on our Star Wars email. This one says, title is Proposal for Joint Work. Greetings. Our team launched IEO. I don't know what that is. Maybe IPO is what they meant to say. The listing stage has begun. We want to get a larger audience because we are confident in our idea. Can we post a brief overview of our idea in U Media? I will send you a review along with a reward plan for review. Oh, in the review, hey, you use the word review too many times there. In the review, you will find all the information you are interested in regarding us. If you agree, we will continue to communicate in a closer format. I am awaiting your consent. Best regards. Let me get something really clear with this person. I'm not interested. It says, in the review, you will find all the information you are interested in regarding us. Hey, clear something up real quick. I'm not interested in anything regarding you. And you didn't even say what your company's name was. Our team launched IEO. What team? Hey, what team are you on? And you know what I love about this is, like, they say, they try to be formal, like, in their, they clearly don't have a good grasp of the English language, and so they try to be formal in the way they talk. So it's like, if you agree, we will continue to communicate in a closer format. They just have the translations all wrong. And, like, the punctuation, like, it just goes space, greetings, comma. Space, I will send you a review. I will send you a review along with a reward plan for review. In the review, you will find all the information you are interested in regarding us. I'm awaiting for your consent. Hey, you and everyone else, buddy. That one's short, but let's go to this next one. This one's called PR Collaboration with MiHoYo from Gershon Impact Manager, Allison Butler. Hello, I'm Allison Butler. Thank you. Hello, I'm Allison Butler, and I represent the mobile game Gershon Impact, developer MiHoYo. We are running a campaign to promote our product and have chosen YouTube as our means of promotion. We would be interested in collaborating with you. If you are interested in collaborating, answer this email, and our manager will contact you shortly. Like, with best regards, Allison Butler. Like, you know that some people have fallen for this in the past. So, like, that's why they send this. This one's actually not that bad. It's just short, sweet, and to the point. PR collaboration with MiHoYo. I guess they want me to promote a product, and they've chosen YouTube as the means of promotion, and they want to collaborate with us. But, like, they have given no details. There's no deck. There's no images. It's just so general. We would be interested in collaborating with you. Okay. And in what capacity? If you're interested in collaborating, hey, you haven't gone into a shred of detail. Answer this email and our manager will contact you shortly. No thanks. Hey, Allison Butler, no thanks. And the emails in this are always hilarious too. Advertising Manager 29 at Centrum.cz. Hopefully I didn't just dox like a real person's email. But thanks, Allison Butler. I'll reach out. This one's my favorite. From the subject line is Irvin Cardona. So I'm immediately confused. And it's from Irene Clay. But the email is from FoxZPerryB@outlook.com. I'm just going to dox all these people. I don't care. So Irene Clay is writing to Irvin Cardona. I guess I'm Irvin Cardona, or maybe they're writing about Irvin Cardona. I don't know. Let's find out. Hi, greetings. How's your day? How are you? Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. I would like to meet you. What an opening. How's your day? How are you? Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. I would like to meet you. Hey, I love the enthusiasm, Irene. I really do. I'm glad you'd like to meet me. That makes me feel good about myself. It makes me feel happy of myself. And there's a little smiley face thrown in there too. But like, this is an opening I kind of want to try with people now. Like, as a salesperson. Hi, greetings. How's your day? How are you? Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. I would like to meet you. That'll get their attention right away, which is, everyone knows when you're writing something, you need something that's going to grab the reader's attention. And that sure as shit grabs my attention. How do you look at getting to know you? I don't know, because that sentence doesn't make sense. And I need to highlight the punctuation here. So it says, how's your day? Question mark. How are you? Question mark. Nice to meet you, smiley face. Nice to meet you, exclamation mark. I would like to meet you. How do you look at getting to know you? There's no comma, no period in between there. So we're getting off track a little bit, Irene, in terms of the clarity of this message. I'm not 100% sure what you're trying to say. How do you look at getting to know you? I would like to get to know you. Okay, we're back on track. In real life, I would never be the first to speak to a man. By nature, I am shy. I think that the internet makes it possible to communicate without hesitation. Oh, is that your hypothesis? You think the internet makes it possible to communicate without hesitation? That is an interesting theory you have, that the internet does make it possible to communicate with zero hesitation. So I applaud you for that. It's also interesting that you're not the first to speak to a man, because by nature you are shy. So it's also very bold of you to assume my gender and assume that I'm a man, Irvin Cardona. But that's fine. If you do not mind, I would like to get to know you. Find out what kind of person you are and continue our correspondence and see where our correspondence will lead us. I would like you to tell about yourself. Okay? We will have some correspondence. So this is another example of Irene, in this case, using the same word to sound professional, to make it sound more real. But by doing so, it achieves the opposite effect. Find out what kind of person you are and continue our correspondence to see where our correspondence would lead us. You just use that word. Use a different word. I'm a pretty girl with blue eyes. I'm 5.6 feet tall and a slender blonde. Ooh, I'm a slender girl with beautiful eyes, good looks, and a beautiful smile. Let me tell you what, Beth, if you're listening to this, Irene sounds like she could be the one for me. She's giving you a run for your money. You're both slender blondes with beautiful eyes. She's 5'6". You're a little taller than her, so I think that's good. And she has a beautiful smile too, so, you know, this is some competition. Irene, Foxy Perry B. I would like to tell about myself. Okay, I thought that's what you were doing already, but great, keep going. My hobbies are reading books, going to the gym. I like volleyball, swimming, camping, skiing. If you are interested to know about me, then I like sports. Oh, that's another great thing. I thought we were already done about the activities you like, but then you decided to pull a 180 and surprise me with another thing. So you're like, oh, I like going to the gym, volleyball, swimming, camping, skiing. If you like to know about me, but also I like sports. And then I also like to spend doing training and walking in the park. Now she ends with this killer line. Have a nice day. I want to wish you a good day and a great mood. Super strong ending here. I'm a little confused at the messaging. I think she wants me to tell her about herself. This is some kind of like wanted ad for a hot hunk like myself. But she starts positive. How's your day? How are you? Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. I would like to meet you. And then ends with, I want to wish you a good day and a great mood. I actually really like that ending. I want to wish you a great mood. It's just a positive thing to say to someone, isn't it? Have a nice day. This actually makes me suspicious that perhaps this was our last writing email. This is our last scam email, is what I'm trying to say, to the show. Which also started out with, have a nice day. So perhaps Irene and this other person who wrote in last time are the same person. I'm suspecting this email might not be legitimate after all. The grammar seems to be a little off. But I'll respond to Irene. Maybe Irene will want to get back to me. Also, update on the last one that I had. That one, they never responded to me, unfortunately. I know you're disappointed. I would have loved to see the response as well. Unfortunately, I think I just took too long to respond because that email was from like August of last year. In fact, I think this one's from November of last year. Yeah, so probably too late to respond to Irene. But I don't even know if this email was meant for me because it's meant for an Irvin Cardona. Anyways, how's your day? How are you? Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. I would like to meet you. And that's it for the show today. I got to get going. I'm a busy boy, but I took time out of my day to talk with you chaps. And I say that word now, chaps. I take some time to talk with you chaps today. That's what I do. Because I'm British now, and I call people chaps. But that's it for today. I will see you guys next time. Send me some spam emails. I like these. These are fun. It's like a different version of reading Reddit and giving advice to strangers on the internet. Also, some of you asked about Beth. I'll get Beth back soon. She's been busy too. We'll get her back, and maybe we'll work on something totally new. So stay tuned for that. I'm spreading myself thin. I have too many shows right now. Oh, also, big news. My golf podcast that I told you guys about, the Bad Birdie podcast, that is now out. So subscribe to Bad Birdie's YouTube and the Breakfast Balls newsletter that was on the last one that came out. It's only on YouTube right now. It's a pilot episode, but we'll be releasing more episodes. So that's exciting. It's a golf podcast sponsored by Bad Birdie, which can officially be announced now. I announced it on my Instagram, but that'll be coming out more often. So that's another thing that I'm working on. So shout out to Bad Birdie and to John and Carter, who I do the show with. And then we have a surprise guest every week, which is a fun time. So go support that. Go follow Bad Birdie. Go listen to that show. Let us know what you think. But we'll be doing a couple more episodes of that, and we'll see where it goes. But in the meantime, have a nice day. How's your day? How are you? Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. I would like to meet you. I'll see you guys next time. But in the meantime, I want to wish you a good day and a great mood. See you later.